At Christmas, we remember that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and Jesus' love took on flesh and walked among us. His love reaches further than our failures and runs deeper than our fears. It is love that heals, restores, and makes us whole.
Today, we relight the first three candles of Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. And we light the candle of love, remembering that love is the heart of Christmas, for Christ is God's greatest gift to us. The Lord demonstrated his love through sending Jesus into our world, as we read in 1 John 4. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Let's pray. God of love, let your gift transform our lives. Teach us to love as you have loved us, sacrificially, generously, and without condition. May your love flow through us, healing brokenness and pointing others to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Four more days. Four more days and the countdown will end and the big day will arrive and all of the festivities and all of what you have planned on your schedule, and Christmas is almost here. But let's be honest, every year it seems like you're going to get that one gift that requires a, how shall we put it, a response. That one gift where you're doing these emotional gymnastics of trying to put this smile and look of delight on your face while internally wondering, what is this? So let me just give you a few helpful phrases as you kind of gear up and plan for that big moment when you receive the gift and the person who has given it to you, for some reason, they're always like 3 feet from you looking right at your face, aren't they? You can go with the, well, 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 that's interesting. You can go with the, oh, really, I didn't know they made Chia Pet ties. Oh, and it's a clip-on, too. Boy, that's going to be interesting to use. You know, you find yourself using words like interesting and wow. If you're a gift giver, by the way, and people keep saying things like, well, that's unique, that's interesting, wow. you might want you're probably in the same category that I am, which is like the world's worst gift giver. You can go with the, I have always wanted this. Now remind me, what is it again? Or, of course, the classic, you shouldn't have. No, really, you shouldn't have. So some gifts may require a little bit of practice, and obviously, I'm joking this morning. Some require a little bit of acting skills. But today I want to talk about a gift that you don't have to rehearse for receiving, this wonderful news of what God has given us and what we celebrate this Christmas. But I think it does beg the question this morning, as we talk about giving gifts, like, what is it that people really want for Christmas? And if you talk with people, you'll start to maybe even gain a sense of that, like what they're looking forward to this time of year, like a break from work. That's nice. Those delicious cookies. Okay, they're doing the Lord's work there. What is it that people really want at Christmas time? Because I think beneath all of the decorations and the music and the noise and the gatherings, like, we do want something deeper. People are longing for, even aching for, something more, a gift that doesn't require that polite response. We want to be loved, put very simply. We want to be seen, we want to be cared for, we want to be recognized, we want to know that we matter. I mean, if you really truly, no one's going to ask for that for Christmas, but if you really truly gauge what it is that people want, they want to know that they matter, that they belong, that someone cares, that someone sees them. And not just the highlight reel of them, the real them. And in response to that, someone who doesn't walk away, but someone who embraces them, someone who stays. That's exactly what God has done for us. That's what we, part of what we celebrate this time of year at Christmas time. It's the greatest gift ever given, the love of God, poured out freely on humanity. And yet it's interesting to proclaim that this morning, as if God's light has shone on all of humanity, and therefore we are all whole and happy and healthy and loved. Because that doesn't ring true for me, and I suspect that it doesn't for you either. Like, if you look at the world around you, you see so many people who feel unseen and unloved and unwanted. And you see the facade. You see, especially online, in the world of social media, people just trying to keep this facade of, I want clicks, I want likes, I want to be seen as glamorous. It's like we curate this version of ourselves that we think is going to be acceptable for people. Or the ongoing, and this goes across generations, reality, for both men and women, of throwing ourselves into our work in such a way that it starts to become our identity, it starts to become our whole life. And we can come up with excuses for why we do it so much and why we're giving that much time and energy and attention and the sacrifices we make, the things we're missing for the sake of our work, and yet we realize it's, in a lot of ways, deep down, we're going really psychological really early in the sermon, apparently. I want to prove that I'm worth something. And so I'm just going to keep going, and I'm going to keep grinding. And you'll never prove your worth through your work. That's not your identity. That's why people work themselves into an early grave, and they haven't yet met the goal. So we look at the world around us and we see people that are broken, that are feeling unloved and unworthy, and people who are always in their heads, they're replaying conversations over and over and over. Did I say the wrong thing? How should I have responded in that situation? Or people who, even though they may find themselves in a sea of people, they feel isolated. They feel lonely. And I do think that in a lot of ways, Christmas and this season, this time of year, really just magnifies that. It just sort of enhances that. It has a way of exposing the ache, of increasing the loneliness. And of course, and this is a reality for some of the families that are part of our church family here, that we are reminded of who's missing at the table. The loved ones that we've lost. And so, let's be honest, Christmas time is not always easy. It's not always merry and bright. It can be challenging, but that is the good news of Christmas. It's that even though we feel unloved, and even though we live in a world that feels that heaviness, God still showed up for us. And God still offers his presence to us today. I think in some ways the Christmas season brings out the worst in us, you know, the Scrooge-like tendencies that come out in me when we start to get over budget. the Grinch that comes out when I'm stuck in traffic or in that long line at the store. Some, I've even heard, throw away Christmas cards so they don't have to deal with the guilt of not reciprocating. And others look at the way you've decorated and just judge it, like, well, they did that all wrong. Well, that's not very good. And again, the reason I mention those things is because that's the good news of Christmas, that God loves us anyway. That God loves us even in those ugly moments. Also, someone told me this morning, I like your ugly Christmas sweater. And I'm like, you mean my beautiful Christmas sweater? This is like the miracle of Christmas, that God chooses to love us even in our ugliness. Even if we have a llama on our sweater with hot cocoa stains on it. And the dispute is, are these his legs and he's wearing pajamas, or is this a scarf? Even when we're unlovable, the Lord loves us. What good news. Right here, right now. And that's why Christmas means so much. Because I get it, like for some people, it's like Christmas really isn't my thing. Or I don't know why you're so into Christmas. Maybe it's just because you have all those children that get excited about Christmas. Well, true, that's contagious. But this is why Christmas matters so much, is because God's love is on display as he breaks into our darkness with his light. And Christmas isn't about our ability to love, as much as that's sort of the hallmark notion of it. It's about God's love toward us. In fact, we're going to be a little bit this morning in 1 John chapter 4, a sneak peek into that chapter. 1 John 4 verse 10 tells us this. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So again, today we're not talking about sentimental love. We're not talking about Hallmark movie love. We're talking about this love of God that has come into our brokenness, that has reached us even in the depths of our sin and darkness. A love that then adopts us, as we're going to learn this morning as we study the scripture, adopts us into God's family and changes the way we live. I can put it this way for you. This is kind of where we're going this morning. At Christmas, love came near. Love brought us home, and love sends us out. So with that, my name is John. I serve as lead pastor here in this church. Just grateful that you're with us today. I'm praying today that as you study God's word, he draws you closer to his heart. So we are in this Advent series. Over these last week, we've talked about the Christmas season and discovering what's truly at the heart of Christmas. So just to recap briefly, we've learned that during Christmas time, the heart of Christmas is there is hope for our weary souls. There is peace that is offered to an unsettled world, a chaotic world, a world that seems to be so often on edge, and a joy that will never spoil. Thank you for tuning in last week online. As you know, the weather prohibited us from gathering in person. And so we were able to do our live stream and really had a great time. Those of you who joined in on YouTube and were part of that, that was really a sweet way to continue our study and continue being together virtually last week. But here's the good news this morning as we're continuing on in this countdown to Christmas, that God sent his love and he did so at just the right time. God sent his love at just the right time. That this birth of Jesus shows us that God sees us. It shows us that God loves us. He cares for us. He wants to meet us right where we are. He delights in us. It's the incarnation. It's God taking on human flesh. And by this incarnation, we realize that love came near. What good news. God doesn't just love you from a distance. He doesn't just love you from that safe proximity where he can see you but not be close to you. That's not the way he does it. He didn't just send a message, he sent himself. Jesus stepped into our reality, our suffering, our humanity. I mean, Jesus himself then had those experiences where he knew hunger, fatigue, grief, rejection, temptation. I mean, when I say like he entered into our mess, I mean he experienced it. Christ himself entered into all of that in order to rescue us. He didn't avoid that. He went right into it. So let's open our Bibles this morning. I actually want to start in Galatians chapter 4. We'll get to 1 John 4 in a minute. But let's start in Galatians chapter 4. To understand more fully this reality that God sent his love at just the right time. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. It says, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So, check this out in verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you're his child, God made you also an heir. So this phrase that's used in verse 4, like when the time had fully come, it means it wasn't random. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't even reactive. God wasn't scrambling, trying to figure it out. He wasn't late. From the moment that sin fractured creation, God was working out this plan to rescue, to restore. And again, I think that matters because sometimes people assume that God loves us in theory, but he is distant in reality and in practice. God loves us in theory, but that he's truly that distant God. This would be the general notion in our culture that would recognize or give assent to a higher being and a higher power. Like, that's largely the American worldview. Like, sure, there is a higher power, but it would be a very distant, separated somewhere, you know, old man sitting on a cloud. That's not the biblical truth. God comes close. It is revealed in a powerful way when he sent Jesus to walk the face of the earth. And we know that Jesus did not leave us as orphans, but breathed on us his Holy Spirit. So God is still with us in a very powerful way. And the scripture affirms this, that God is close. God is near. So the frazzled parent, God is with you. The anxious student, God is there. The grieving spouse. The person wondering, does anyone even care? Does it matter to anyone if I disappeared? God is there. God is near. And so we celebrate that. We proclaim that. At Christmas, God came near. I don't know if you guys caught the headline this week, but there was a camel who stole the show at a Texas megachurch during their Christmas service. It was walking down the aisle. It was a full production, thousands of people. And as it walked down the aisle, I've seen the video. I did not bring it this morning, but it almost just gives this side eye, and then, bam, it kicks this woman right in the face. Now, she fully recovered. She was treated at a local hospital. It did knock her unconscious. Lord, forgive me for laughing. But the camel stole the show. I mean, the headline was not Texas megachurch does, you know, over-the-top elaborate Christmas program. It was woman gets kicked in the face by camel. I don't know if she was carrying a camel skin bag. I mean, I don't know what it was about this situation, but he stole the headline. It was unexpected, you know. I mean, she wasn't slain in the spirit at the service. She was flat out before the Lord on her face. I think in that same unexpected, surprising, sudden, God breaking in sort of way, that's what happened on that hillside. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. On that sleepy night. Maybe she was dozing off in the service. I don't know. She's just sitting there. Just as the shepherds were sitting there, keeping watch over the flocks by night. But unexpectedly, out of the blue, God breaks in. That's the reality for us as we celebrate Christmas, that God has broken into our world, our lives, that he draws near to us in great love. And we're no longer slaves. We are children. We are beloved. We belong. We have a place. We have a home. We have a family. In other words, love brought us home. So we've talked about the fact that love came near. Love brought us home. God's design for humanity, listen to me, God's design for humanity was to be in communion, in fellowship, in relationship with him. So he created the cosmos, the heavens and the earth, all of creation. He creates humans, and he lives with them in loving communion. That was God's heart. That was God's design. It all started with beauty, with perfection, with knowing God, with wholeness. But then you and I both know what happened. Sin entered the equation. Adam and Eve, we didn't make it past the first two. They did wrong. They disobeyed. And it wasn't just Adam and it wasn't just Eve. It was every single person since then in all of human history have sinned, have done wrong. And in so doing, separated ourselves from that communion, that relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. We need a way back home. You remember they were banished from the garden, right? Not allowed back in. So we are now able to be brought back home into the presence of God. Why? Well, it all began with the first cry of the baby Jesus that night he was born in Bethlehem. And it was a cry of love. Through him, there is a way home. Jesus came to be our rescuer. And I think this is where, especially as we consider Galatians 4 and the sending of his son, because you notice that word, God sent, that the Christmas story really moves from sweet to staggering. Because it's not just that we're forgiven. Praise God, we're forgiven of our sins. We are purified. It's not just forgiven, redeemed. We are adopted. We see that in verse 7. We're in Galatians chapter 4. We are adopted. Heirs of the Most High God. So forgiveness says, well, you're not in trouble anymore. But adoption says, you belong here. You belong with me. You are loved. You're no longer an outsider. You are a family member. You're a child of God. Paul actually writes about this. We won't turn there this morning, but in Ephesians chapter 1, where he says, God chose us, God redeemed us, God forgave us, God seals us with his Holy Spirit, all motivated by his love. And friends, this is the gospel, that every one of us has sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin separates us from him. We cannot fix it on our own, as much as we want to try. And that's what religion does, whether it's got Christian on it or another title of Judaism or Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism. That's what religion does. It's my attempt. In fact, that's exactly what religion means, by the way. The word religion, it means a binding. I'm going to do the work and the effort and bind myself to this deity, this power, this. It's like, that's not how it works. We can try our whole life to be religious, to be pious, to follow the rules. We're still alienated from him. It takes surrender and humility. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. With the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What good news that only Jesus opens the door for us to be back with, at one with. We saw that he atones for our sins in 1 John 4 and verse 10. He opens the door for that restoration, that new life, as part of God's forever family. So salvation is not earned. It is only a work of what Christ has done on the cross. And when we trust in him, you see, that's our part, is to believe. We know that from John chapter 6. What's our part in it? It's to believe. When we believe in Christ, we are welcomed home, not reluctantly, joyfully, with gratitude for what he's done for us. So at Christmas, love came near, love brought us home, and then finally, love sends us out. Does that sound familiar? This idea of the realities of Christmas putting us into orbit on mission for him, I hope it does, because I've said this each and every week this Advent. I have used that. We have sensed from the scriptures that this is the reality, that hope spreads to others through our own hopefulness, that peace impacts those that are around us and in our sphere of influence, that joy is contagious. And so in just the same way, 4 weeks in a row, as we understand these realities of hope and peace and joy, so when we truly receive God's love, it shapes the way we live and it shapes the way we love. It shapes the way we respond to, react to, treat in our encounters with others. So love doesn't stop with us. So what I want to do is I want to turn to 1 John chapter 4 this morning, because there is a great teaching there that we want to embrace. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. At verse 10, we read this a few moments ago. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Love received equals love released. Not that it generated in us, not that it begins with us, not that we're capable of it, but it's God's love flowing through us to those around us. So, with that love of God transforming our lives, we choose patience and grace with people who are difficult. We choose to bring about peace in our relationships, even when tensions start to rise. We notice those that are overlooked. We go to those who others don't want to go to or spend time with. We forgive. Even when it's difficult, even when it has stung, we choose to walk in forgiveness. We listen. You know, sometimes it's more important to show someone that you love them than show someone that you're right. And that can be hard. And some of us have family members. And this time of year, we tend to have these gatherings. And you're like, oh, no, not that one. No one wants to sit next to her. I think Jesus would. And I think if the love of God is in your life, he's going to motivate you to be the one to pull up the chair, to check in. Say, oh, we're not gonna argue about that. I just want to see how you're doing. I'm getting really practical. But that's how God's love operates in your life and mine. That's what John is telling us to do here in 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, love one another. Show up when it would be easier to withdraw. Why? Because again, love isn't passive. It moves. It motivates us. It sends us out. And we saw that in both passages here. Galatians chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, that God in his love did what? Sent. That's exactly what God did in his love toward humanity is. He sent his Son Jesus. And in just the same way, he sends us to reach out to those who are unlovable, who need to hear the truth of Jesus, who need to be loved, those ones who feel unseen and uncared for and unloved. He wants us to be his hands and feet on earth until he returns. So with his love in our hearts, we live through him, we live for him, and yes, very simply put, we love one another. Dear friends, let us love one another. And his love then, we see that, is made complete in us. His love made complete in us. And God is glorified, and people are blessed. And you know what? You and I are filled with gratitude for what he has done. So it's December 21st. In just a few short days, the presents are going to be all opened. The leftovers are going to be all piled up. The decorations are slowly going to come down. I'll check on you in February. We'll see how we're doing there. Life is going to return to normal, but the love of God will remain. This is just a season that's an opportunity to embrace it and to recognize what he has done. Because at Christmas, love came near. Love brought us home, and yes, love sends us out to a world steeped in darkness that needs the light of Christ. That is the heart of Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so grateful this morning to be heralds of the good news, to proclaim what you have done, O God, to reflect on the inbreaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament and changing every life. And so, Lord, we would again just lift up before you the hurt and the darkness, the pain, even knowing that this season can be heavy. But also remembering that you are the God of the impossible. That you can take that weary heart and fill it with joy. Not a joy based on circumstance, Lord. A joy based on the truth of who you are. And a joy that cannot be taken. Because we know Jesus. And so, Lord, we're so grateful for our church family. We pray that you'd bless our time together this morning and our Sunday school hour. Lord, as we do life together, we would come alongside to bear burdens, to encourage, all keeping our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. How we thank you for what you've done, Lord. We pray that as we go out, you would be the one who fills us and who opens wide the doors of opportunity. And Lord, in the times where we don't know what to say, Lord, give us the words. For we want your message to be on our lips, because we know your heart for the world that you so fiercely love, that you sent your one and only Son. And so, Lord, we're grateful for that. And we surrender to you and your Lordship, giving you the honor and the glory, and praying it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.